RotoGrinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. If I don't have the energy, it's simply because, well, my voice is hurting, ladies and gentlemen. A little thing called strep throat. So, I'm not going to be yapping here all that long, but I also felt like I need to bring you some content. So, we want to thank our friends at FanDuel for sponsoring and you for listening. And it's just not going to be normal content. It's going to be great stuff because coming up here in just a moment, we have Ganondorf, one of the top new players in Daily Fantasy. Sat down with an interview with him, so I'm going to have that for you here in just a moment. One thing I want to point out to everybody is, if you are catching this before noon, World Cup soccer today. Make sure you jump in a team out there in the $100,000 tournament over on Draft Street. So, great opportunity. That looks like we might have some overlay in that, and obviously a big game for Team USA today. Like I say, I'm not going to talk because it hurts, so let me just get straight to the interview. I was very impressed with him. He is somebody who has built quite a reputation up already in a short amount of time playing Daily Fantasy. He goes by Ganondorf on FanDuel, Impulsive Accordion on Draft Street. Check it out here on the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Okay, got a special treat for you today on the podcast. Didn't even preview this because it's so good. That's all I have to say. It's so good. Anytime we can bring on top-ranked players, it's awesome, especially when we can bring on top-ranked players we don't know a whole lot about. And ever so often, we get kind of new players, jump into the space, and have a whole bunch of success. And right now, I'm going to be bringing you an interview with a guy who's currently ranked 7th in our MLB Grinder leaderboard. TPOI, he's top 25. Overall, he's a top 20 ranked player. And if you play over on FanDuel, you know him over as Ganondorf. If you're playing over on Draft Street, he's Impulsive Accordion. And he joins us here on the RotoGrinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Pleasure to finally talk to you and learn a little bit about yourself. This is great.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me on. We've been going back and forth, I think, on Twitter for a few weeks now, and I know you had the travel. I'm jealous that you got to do that last week.
Yeah, the travel was good, but the coming out sick from the travel, not so good. But you know what, the price you pay to represent the industry, you'll do what you got to do. But this is about you because, like I just mentioned in that opening, you know, there's been a lot of guys who've had success, but a lot of those guys have been around for a while. The CSU Rams, the Bird Wings, the Al Smizzles, these guys have been playing for years. It seemed like this basketball season, all of a sudden, I started seeing this Ganondorf on FanDuel walk into these giant tournaments with huge number of tickets and was ruling the roost for a while over there on FanDuel for anybody whose name is not McJester. So tell me a little bit how you got into this space, how you first found out about it.
A friend of mine recommended it to me, and at the time I didn't think too much of it. You know, I had a day job. I still do freelance work, but I've cut back significantly so I can actually do more fantasy. But I hadn't heard of the space, but I've been a huge basketball fan for a while. So they'd been into fantasy baseball and basically said, I'd like some advice on stuff to look at in basketball. I know you're a huge basketball guy. And I said, all right. You know, they got the referral bonus and all that. And just kind of fell in love with it quickly because this is one of those areas where if you're a sports fan, you get in arguments with people a lot of the time. It's funny because, like, I think Melo and Russell Westbrook are overrated, but they're fantastic fantasy players. So you get in these arguments in the numbers, and you can't do anything with that, right? At the end of the argument, they just say, "Ah, whatever, I don't care." Fantasy sports, though, you go down, you go, I know this player is better than this player, and you get paid for it, too, so it's fantastic.
So were you a season-long guy for a while, and and then transition to daily, you know, once you kind of learned about it? Or was daily your first foray into fantasy?
I was not a very good season-long guy. And in fact, daily ruined me because I would do season-long and kind of get fed up. And that's the problem with season-long, right? You're smart. You do great in the draft. You watch the waiver wires. You do great. And then two of your guys get injured. Another team makes a good trade and you're out. And all this time is wasted and you hate it. And then when I got into daily fantasy, I would forget. I kept missing my roster locks because I would be so busy setting daily fantasy roster locks the same day, I would forget and I would leave injured players in and stuff like that. So yeah, I wasn't a huge season long fantasy, and it was just because it was so frustrating, even though I love sports and I love stats.
What's the one thing you learned most about daily fantasy? Like what's the one pitfall that you kind of ran into early on that, you know, you kind of self-corrected a little bit and realized I'm not doing that right?
Oh, you're mentioning a dig you made at me, and actually it's 100% right. So there are two. The second one is just bankroll management. That's a boring one. We can talk more about that in a bit. But the first is learning to have proper lineup, like how many lineups you can realistically set and also making sure they're set. So, I mean, you took a dig at me because, you know, I've done a few trains a few times. And
I have.
I'm going to be honest. This is an admission because I'm actually relatively new and I'd like to use that as an excuse. But there are newer players than me that are significantly better. I think, you know, Troll for MVP is fantastic. I thought he was seasoned and it turns out he's just as new as me. But I'd have days where basically I ran out of time and I went, my options are proxy lineups, which I've done in the past. And it's so embarrassing when that happens. Or you do that click all. And you put the same lineup and everything, and then you know, you take flack for it, even if it does well, everybody goes, "What the hell were you thinking?" And they're right, but you know, you can't just throw money away.
So was it more? So it's basically just a time management thing. Is that kind of the problem then?
Yeah, and I mean, I was never a huge baseball guy. In fact, I love daily fantasy for baseball because I think it's an old person sport, but daily fantasy has gotten me into watching baseball games. I'll watch a pitcher on a team that's not my home team, that's not the Rockies, because I'm hoping they get two outs so that I can win a tournament. I would never have done that before daily fantasy. But, you know, basketball, there's just so much last-second news, and baseball is so much more lenient for that. And that's the thing. You overestimate it. You think you've got 30 minutes, and then, you know, Kevin Love goes down, and that's every single one of your lineups for the night. And that's just, you know, you have to learn how many lineups you can realistically do, especially across two sites.
Yeah, I think I made my first comment was one of the big FanDuel basketball tournaments where you had like 100 lineups or something. You must have maxed out and you had a rough performance that day with, you know, I don't want to say lack of success in that side of things because let's face it, it takes a crap load of skill to earn that many tickets. But do you think you might just kind of set a limit for yourself and say, this is only as many lineups as I can make. I'm not going to go after the 100. I'm just going to stick with 50 because I think I can manage that a little bit better. Is that a thought process that you've gone through?
Yeah, I've definitely worked on that. And I feel a little annoyed because I was actually quite proud of my roster selection for the King of the Diamond, or what was the Monster, right? Not the King of the Diamond, but the other 101. And I didn't do a ton of trains. I got a lot of unique lineups. And it was just one of those days where I think all of the top players got smashed. None of the stuff we did worked. And it's, yeah, I mean, with those, it has just been a learning curve and starting to realize, okay, with this much time and these many lineups I'm going to try and do, I'm going to do this. And on like 100, on a 100 entry thing, you have to be realistic and say, okay, I'm not going to be able to get 100, maybe 30 or 40.
Now, one thing I found really interesting is it's not easy to play on FanDuel and DraftStreet because they are complete opposite sites in so many ways. Dynamic pricing on one, larger rosters on another. I mean, it's just really two opposites. Yet you found yourself, I've seen you had a ton of success on both of these sites. How have you been able to do that? Because I know it's something, it's a challenge that I've, you know, come to deal with. And you know, when you're playing those two sites and them being so different, obviously value plays on one site don't always amount to, you know, great plays on the next site.
Yeah, when FanDuel gives away Hunter Pence for 2,200 and, you know, DraftStreet actually realizes he can hit, you have to do different lineups. But I have two gigantic monitors, and like I said, time management, and some of that, you know, was hubris on my part to start on two sites, and it's just been learning that. And the reason I like this, and just to anybody out there, you know, get on as many sites as you can. Shameless plug for RotoGrinders. There are tons of incentive programs out there. It's just self-hedging, just what you mentioned there, right? If the games aren't the same, if, you know, there are two pitchers on, you know, DraftKings, and I haven't gone much there, but, you know, they have two there, three on DraftStreet, one on FanDuel, you know, different pricing. It's kind of self-hedging because it's a rough night when you make what you think are the right plays and you just go down. And, I mean, that happens to everybody. And so sometimes it's nice when you know there's a good night on DraftStreet and a so-so night on FanDuel, and that's, you know, that's why I'm willing to do it. But yeah, it's not easy, and it's a lot of clicking and just watching the clock.
So it sure sounds like you are straight model player. Is that correct?
Kind of. I mean, I think you get the oh shucks ho hum whenever you ask this to any person you bring on the air, because none of us want to say what we do.
Sure.
But I know we all have spreadsheets that we're looking at, and where I have a lot of respect is if you've got a spreadsheet of value players, and I think, you know, you've got stuff that you offer on RotoGrinders, you'll have cases where there are two players that are just so close. And there are players that are really good at feel and kind of just go, I got a feeling this guy's going to be on a hot streak. I think Smizzle and St. Louis Cardinals fans seem that way to me. Maybe I'm wrong. They seem to occasionally get ahead of models if you're talking that way. So, I mean, I try and mix and match those sometimes, but you know, when you run into time constraints, sometimes you just click the top player that you think is the best and no time for thought. If you got a little more time, you maybe side with, you know, the Rockies if you're feeling good about them or something.
We're talking with Ganondorf over there on FanDuel, also goes by Impulsive Accordion on DraftStreet. And you know, you mentioned, you know, transitioning over to baseball and that being a game that you didn't follow so much. I mean, again, back to, like, you know, trying to pick up something you haven't done before. I mean, was that a difficult transition for you? It sounds like basketball seemed like a much better background for you going into daily fantasy. So, I mean, did you have, like, the first couple of weeks, did you have to figure it out, or did you pick it up pretty naturally?
I don't want to say I picked it up naturally, but I think the first couple of weeks in baseball were such a relief compared to basketball that I don't know if I noticed as much. I know I had, you know, learning curves and some growing pains. But, you know, when you're getting to playoff time in basketball, you have things like you don't know if Dwayne Wade's going to play until 5 minutes before the game and maybe he's the best value. And, you know, the coach might just sit someone because they're, you know, trying to help themselves in the draft, which is, you know, if you look at all the models, that's a stupid strategy, but they do it anyway. So you have no idea what's going on. When basketball was winding down, it was just so stressful. And then you walk into baseball and, you know, it's not as stressful. You know, they release lineups and you don't have to worry that a player is going to get into foul trouble in the first inning and be out the rest of the game. So I think there were definitely growing pains there. I just don't think I really noticed them because I was so relieved after, you know, no, just the stressful end to basketball, especially as you mentioned, that big tournament that I had a bunch of injuries in and did not go as well as I would hope. And then there was the DS, the DraftStreet one, and I didn't do bad. You know, I was middle of the pack, but that was depressing too. So it was nice to get into baseball.
Well, I believe you've already got a seat on both FanDuel and DraftStreet for their $1 million final. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got a two on FanDuel and one on DraftStreet. And yeah, I think you mentioned I came in third recently. It's been rough. I'm doing my best Smizzle impersonation and coming as close as possible without getting a ticket.
Now, are you settling with just staying on these two sites and not expanding further? Or, you know, in thinking that, hey, time is difficult for me to manage already, adding a third site into it would be, you know, that much harder. But then you're also potentially leaving, you know, money on the table that you could be winning somewhere else. So what's your thoughts on, you know, maybe expanding beyond just those two?
I'd definitely love to expand to a few other sites if I get time. But one of the things I think I'll have to look at, and I think the nice part of some of these numbers are starting to come out, is just how much action is on each of the sites. That's the best thing, you know, FanDuel's got going for it, is it's just everybody's there. Yeah. You know, they can release a squeeze two. Sorry about the background noise. They can release a squeeze two with 10 minutes left, and that thing will fill. And that's amazing.
Yeah, it absolutely
is. And just learning from my own lessons, you know, the two lessons I would tell any new person is, you know, bankroll management, right? Never never have a night where you have more money out where you're not afraid to lose every last penny. Everything goes wrong. You know, a game gets rained out. A player, you know, gets sent to the hospital before the game. Everything, you know, goes wrong. You post a zero. You know, just be ready for that. And the other is, you know, time management. Don't bite up more than you can chew. And so with that lesson in the past, I'm probably going to be trepidatious moving into new sites. But, you know, maybe with the new basketball season, I can maybe do fewer lineups and do more sites. I'll see about that.
There's some that Al and I have spoken about a good bit, and I want to get your take on how much thought process you put in on tournaments to how heavily owned a player is going to be. Is that something you care about, or do you just say, you know, that's not important, I just put the best lineup I can together?
Well, I mean, I think the common ones, right, are stacks. If you can get a nice stack going, those are always good. So I think about those. And then the player owners, that sometimes will be a tiebreaker decision where, and it's fun, it'll depend on the day, where you think, I think this player has more upside. So I'd really like to play that player, because if they're 5% owned and, you know, they go off for two home runs, that's just instant money for me. Other days you just play it safe. So it enters a little, but I think that's really hard to balance. I mean, I would love to start adding more of that, but that's, you know, already when you're talking about how much thought to put into a lineup and how much time you can, I'm very envious of people that can put a lot of critical thought into that. And I'm not at the point where I can do it well enough that I do it significantly.
How much do you track your winnings in your play? Are you somebody who takes the results? Because let's face it, you play a lot, so you have huge sample size, and kind of say, hey, I'm, you know, finding myself having more success in, you know, $22 games as opposed to $10 games, or, you know, 109s as opposed to 535s. Do you do that kind of research?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the FanDuel has a really nice download option.
Yeah.
There's one annoying bug, which is if, like, there are tournaments that start earlier and, you know, they auto-enter you for a week before they start or something,
yeah,
you have to look back in time, which can be annoying. If you're a high-volume player and you play more than 1,000 games in a week, sometimes you have to look back two or three notches on that to get the actual results of how well you did. DraftStreet, maybe I'm wrong. I copy and paste my results out of there. It's not as nice as FanDuel's, which is a pity. But yeah, I definitely track that. And then with what you're saying, I usually wait about monthly before I try and do much analysis on it, because it's, you know, this is such a high variance field that you don't want to overreact quickly and say, oh, you know, I'm not winning in these $22 double ups, so I should stop playing them. You know, maybe made a month or two. And I'm pretty new to this too, though, so, you know, that's still a work in process.
Well, you've made quite an impression on me and the entire industry here in this short amount of time you've been playing. Just zooming up the leaderboards here on Roto Grinders. Now, what's going to happen for football season? Are you ready to try this for daily? Obviously, I'm assuming this would be your first year doing it.
I don't know yet. I mean, it's it was funny because I think I don't know if you had Condé or Lucroy on, and they were mentioning, I think Lucroy said, you know, Condé likes to take a break during baseball season. I saw him hop in, and it's, you know, there's a little bit of a break between baseball and basketball, and it would be nice to take that. The same time, I know, you know, from those reports, all of the money is in football. But football is also, I have the most respect for the advanced stats there. You know, it's not up there with baseball and basketball, where it's, you know, so much randomness and so many injuries and such a small sample size. So I don't know is the answer, but I think the siren's call of all that money may get the better of me.
And last thing that you mentioned too, which is just absolutely amazing to me, you're a CSU guy too, aren't you?
I am, and I don't know if we went near the same time, but that just was remarkable to me to hear, you know, Condé and Lucroy, and then I think obviously CSU Rams. So it's
crazy.
It's funny because I read a book like on Poisson distributions about like diseases, and you would just expect certain, if you were looking at disease outbreaks, you would expect certain places to just get unlucky and get a high amount of disease, and that's just statistics. So it could be that, but then also CSU has a lot of interesting stuff going for it. If you've read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, mm-hmm. where he talks about all these unique circumstances, you know, an interesting part about being a Colorado native, we have a ton of sports teams, but outside of hockey and football in the late 90s, early 2000s, we've had these teams that aren't very good and have weird natural experiments. Like Allen Iverson coming over is what opened my eyes to advanced stats in basketball, because I went, how on earth are we not winning more with this guy? And then you go, oh, shooting efficiency matters. So I'm wondering if the Colorado environment and going to a state school, so you don't have a ton of debt. And so if you want to spend a little extra money on daily fantasy, I'm wondering if those two things just are this perfect storm of creating daily fantasy players.
I like it. This is it's crazy. Absolutely crazy, but I love it. You know, it's an interesting trend to see so much success coming from you know, that part of the country. It's great stuff. And Bird Wings is going to be moving out to Denver, I heard too. So you're just going to be adding another you know, huge name in daily fantasy out there to Colorado. Go figure.
Well, I'm actually moving out of the state briefly, so maybe we've got a quota or something we have to uphold. So
well, where do you come out real quick on the future of daily fantasy? You know, there's obviously the industry is continues to grow, but we also are in an era where, you know, everybody is noticing that so many people are trying to capitalize on it, whether it's, you know, giving information. There's this whole deal about, you know, selling lineups on eBay, which I thought was rather fascinating. What's your take on, you know, where this industry is going to be in a few years? I mean, you seem to have a pretty analytical look at most things, so I'm kind of curious your take on this.
So there's one thing that I'm interested in, and I would kind of throw this out there to the fantasy sites, which is, maybe I'm wrong, but this seems predominantly male dominated. And well, sports in general, if you're looking at the top level, I can buy that argument. I don't see a reason. You know, when I was at CSU, a lot of the people that I worked with in the master's department were female. And I'm wondering if they just start marketing more to females, that's just growth right there. And, you know, I think that's a good place already. You know, it's an untapped market as far as I'm seeing, at least as far as when I'm looking at the marketing. But just the growth in general, you know, people keep saying it's reached the peak. Even if that's the case, all of these sites are just improving. You know, we're getting more games. They're getting smarter. They're getting, you know, FanDuel, you know, the multi-entry double ups are great. All of the extra tournaments they're adding. So I just see this field as having a lot of growth. And an interesting just kind of side note on that is there's a gambling site that I've heard advertised on a few podcasts, not yours, but like one podcasts. And I put a little money on there for the basketball season just for pride purposes. And I tried to get my money back. It took them weeks. They kept telling me to just calm down when I asked about it. When they sent it to me, it was from a Canadian bank. And in the note, they said, hey, don't mention this was for gambling when you cash it. And that's very sketch. Whereas when you look at fantasy, daily fantasy, you know, it just goes through PayPal. And that right there, just if you look at the poker boom and what took it down, but then you look at daily fantasy, I just can't help but think it's just going to keep getting better and better when it's legal and so easy. And I still think there are markets that are untapped with it. You know, I didn't know about it a year ago, and I'm a huge sports guy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's such a skill-based game, too. I mean, that's really where I think the legality front is really important, that we can continue to have that. You know, I've talked about, you know, the dumbing down of, you know, mobile games and so forth, but I think it's really important that, you know, we do have this major skill element in daily fantasy, because, you know, on a state level, that seems to be, you know, I don't want to say the biggest hiccup, but, you know, the one thing that if people interpreted fantasy a certain way, that could get in trouble. But honestly, I think that we're in a pretty good spot on that front, based on stuff that I heard at the FSTA and other aspects of the industry. So, well, you know what, Mr. Ganondorf, I have to say it's been a pleasure talking to you. I have a hunch it won't be the last time. I know you are heading to Vegas for, obviously, the DFBC final. We'll see you out there for that. And continued luck and success here in Daily Fantasy.
Thanks, and keep spreading the news about the industry. You know, I do love the picks and information that you give, but when you give industry news, it's really nice. So it's most enjoyable podcast for that. So appreciate that a lot.
Okay, folks, that's going to do it for the show for today. Thank you so much for bearing with me. Hopefully tomorrow we get the voice a little bit better and we can give you the podcast in its entirety, picks, analysis, all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, content all over the site, 3 hours of Grinders Live tonight. Make sure you check out the Beer Makers Fan Daily Fantasy Six Pack. That thing has been absolutely on fire lately. Any feedback, you can definitely tweet at me at Dan_Bach at
Dan, or Dan at rotogrinders.com. I want to thank FanDuel, our fine sponsor. Please, if you haven't made a deposit over there, please do so. If you like this show, if you find it entertaining, informative, then support the people that make it happen for free each and every day, and that is FanDuel.com. Until tomorrow, everyone, have yourself a great Thursday night, and we will see ya.